In 1976, a cultural earthquake shook America's understanding of female sexuality. Women across the nation were finally speaking their truth about what happened behind closed doors, and the revelations were stunning. For generations, female pleasure had been defined by men, measured against male standards, and evaluated through a male lens. Then came Scheer Heights' groundbreaking research, giving voice to over 3,000 women who shared their most intimate experiences in their own words. What emerged was a profound disconnect between what women were supposed to feel and what they actually experienced. While experts claimed women should achieve orgasm through intercourse alone, most women's bodies told a different story. While the sexual revolution supposedly liberated everyone, many women felt more pressure than ever to perform according to new scripts they hadn't written. The findings weren't just personally validating for countless women, they were politically explosive, challenging fundamental assumptions about gender, power, and pleasure that continue to reverberate today. Hitt's research revealed a simple yet revolutionary fact. Only 30% of women regularly experienced orgasm during intercourse without additional clitoral stimulation. This challenged centuries of assumptions about normal female sexuality. While 82% of women masturbated, with 95% easily achieving orgasm during self-pleasure, this ease disappeared during traditional partnered sex. Women consistently described orgasms as intense sensations beginning in the clitoral area and radiating outward, accompanied by muscular tension. These orgasms resulted from direct or indirect stimulation of the clitoris, an extensive organ system comparable to the penis, with most of its structure hidden beneath the surface. This anatomical reality explained why intercourse alone often failed to provide adequate stimulation. The traditional sexual script wasn't designed for female pleasure, but for reproduction. Women who did orgasm during intercourse typically ensured clitoral contact through specific positions or manual stimulation. The problem wasn't women's bodies, it was the mismatch between how female pleasure works and how sex was culturally defined. Imagine if basketball ended the moment one player scored. This mirrors traditional heterosexual encounters: brief foreplay, penetration, male orgasm, game over. Over 95% of women describe this predictable pattern with profound dissatisfaction. This standard sexual script left many women experiencing arousal without release, creating physical discomfort and emotional distress. Some describe feeling frustrated and angry and potentially violent, or like someone is trying to kill me. Many secretly masturbated after partners fell asleep, feeling unable to do so openly without insulting their partner. Even when partners attempted clitoral stimulation, these activities were treated merely as foreplay rather than stimulation meant for orgasm. Women often felt guilty about taking time for their pleasure, viewing it as not mutually satisfying. Many expressed anxiety about intruding on their partners. This reproductive model gave women little opportunity for pleasure and reinforced that women's needs were secondary. Their masturbation experiences proved women could experience pleasure. The issue was whether heterosexual relationships prioritized mutual satisfaction. Masturbation provides the key to understanding female sexuality. When free from cultural scripts or partner expectations, women's bodies revealed their natural desires, quick, consistent responses to direct clitoral stimulation. Six basic approaches emerged, with most women focusing on the clitoral area rather than vaginal penetration. The most common method involved manual stimulation with precise techniques. I begin by stroking the clitoral area, then stiffen my legs and vibrate the skin around my clitoris rapidly with my fingers. Many noted leg position importance. Other methods included lying face down with manual stimulation, thrusting against soft objects, crossing legs tightly, using running water, or vaginal insertion, though rarely primary. Despite physical satisfaction, many women experience psychological conflict about masturbation. Common negative feelings included guilt, shame, selfishness, and embarrassment. Women described feeling uncomfortable, adrift, uneasy, pathetic, empty, cheap, dirty, despite physical pleasure. Most had been taught that masturbation was wrong, with many reporting warnings it would cause illness or insanity. This revealed a profound disconnect. Women knew how to experience pleasure, but often felt unable to incorporate this knowledge into sexual relationships, reflecting conditioning to prioritize others' needs over their own. The sexual revolution of the 1960s reduced shame but created new pressures for women. Sex deemed healthy and necessary meant women couldn't refuse without being labeled frigid. The double standard persisted. Sexually active men were sowing wild oats, while women with multiple partners became prostitutes or nymphomaniacs. Birth control, particularly the pill, created obligations rather than freedom. Many women felt it simply allowed men to take advantage by removing their excuse not to screw with them. Women resented bearing full contraceptive responsibility, while men enjoyed the benefits without commitment. Most women rejected the idea that separating sex from emotions was liberating. They described feeling used in casual encounters and expressed needing emotional connection for fulfilling sex. The revolution essentially replaced one form of sexual constraint with another. As workplace satisfaction declined, sexual relationships became surrogates for meaningful engagement. As Haidt concluded, "We haven't had a sexual revolution yet, but we need one." Haidt's research showed lesbian relationships often featured sexual patterns many women found more satisfying. These encounters involved extensive touching and caressing without predetermined scripts, emphasizing a circular nature without the definitive endpoint typical in heterosexual encounters. Women preferred these relationships for both emotional depth and physical pleasure, reporting more reliable orgasms, longer encounters, and greater attention to mutual satisfaction. Many appreciated the absence of performance pressure, noting lesbian sex is not demand orgasm-oriented. They valued the reciprocity and what one woman called the aesthetic symmetry and power symmetry. Haidt argued that female sexuality is inherently flexible rather than limited by genital geography. She challenged prohibitions against same-sex relationships as arbitrary cultural constructs, pointing out that homosexual behavior is common throughout the animal kingdom. This groundbreaking section presented lesbian sexuality as a valid and often more satisfying alternative to heterosexual relationships, suggesting women's capacity for pleasure might be better realized in relationships not structured around male sexual patterns, and that heterosexual couples might learn from these models. Haidt's research led to a radical reimagining of human sexuality beyond conventional categories. She envisioned physical intimacy diffused throughout daily life, blurring boundaries between sexual contact, platonic touch, and emotional connection. Women expressed desires for prolonged skin-to-skin contact, gentle caressing, passionate kissing, and quiet moments of closeness. Many found simple acts of touching created deeper emotional resonance than orgasm-focused encounters, with many preferring sustained sensual touching over isolated moments of climax. Haidt challenged the centrality of penetrative intercourse in heterosexual relationships, noting how the default man-on-top position reflected social power dynamics rather than biological necessities. She highlighted historical and cross-cultural examples demonstrating broader sexual possibilities, from ancient Sanskrit practices to the Oneida colony's approaches to pleasure. Her vision transcended better orgasms. It reimagined human connection. What if touch could heal rather than threaten? What if physical affection didn't require sexual intent? By questioning mandatory intercourse and expanding definitions of sexual experience, Haidt opened possibilities for more authentic, satisfying relationships.